So the Gemara raises the following question. When it says lo yiten in the Mishnah, what does that mean? We're talking about an open fire, and there are two possibilities. Lo yiten might be you can't put the pot of food on the fire on Shabbos, or lo yiten might mean that you can't put the food on the pot on Erev Shabbos. So the first possibility is that you can't put it on Shabbos. That's called lo yachzir. So the word lo yiten, those words mean lo yachzir. And if that be the case, then apparently the Mishnah is prohibiting putting a pot on the fire on Shabbos. But as far as putting a pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos, even though you know well that it's going to cook on Shabbos itself, which is called Shehiyah, that's okay. And therefore the Mishnah, if it's interpreted as lo yachzir, reflects the sheet of Chananya. Because Chananya says that once the food is cooked to the point of Kimaichu Men Josai, on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to leave it on the fire on Erev Shabbos and have the complete process of cooking take place on Shabbos itself. So the open fire for something that's already partially cooked, whether it's a one-third or one-half, whatever it is, that's sufficient according to Chananya. Therefore, the whole Isser in our Mishnah with regard to an Eino Garf and Eino Kotu, which means an open fire, that's only with regard to Chazora on Shabbos. That's the first possibility. O Dilma, the second possibility is Lishos Tnan. That the Mishnah, when it says lo yitain, it means lo yitain on Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to leave the pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos. That's against Chananya, because Chananya says that as soon as you fulfill the condition of Kimaichu Ben Josai, so you're allowed to leave the pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos. But our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan of Chananya. They say that there's an Isur Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos, even if the food was cooked to the point of Kamaichu Ben Josai, as long as the fire is an open fire. However, the Mishnah goes on to say that if it's Garif or Katum, if you take out the coals from this stove, then you're allowed to leave the pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos. Now let's just point out a few things here. First of all, if you go with the second approach, which is called Lishos Tnan, and the Mishnah requires a Garif for Katum in order to be Matir Shehiyah on an open fire at Erev Shabbos, you're going to have to remove the open fire by doing Grefa and Ketuma. And if that be the case, you might ask the following question: what purpose, what goal does this individual expect or anticipate to achieve by leaving his pot on a stove which has no fire on it? You've already removed the coals. So I want to point out two things, and both are correct, I think. Number one is that katum, the word katum here, which means to place afer, to put something on top of the coals in order to start cooling the coals off. So that doesn't mean that the fire is completely covered and it's completely gone. What we're going to suggest is that katum means a heker. Heker means it's something that is meant to remind him that he shouldn't be playing around with these coals, with this fire. And the coals are still there. So there's no reason to doubt, to be surprised as to why he has a Gemara here. If you can,
okay.
That's Harvey's cubicle there. You know, his cubby. So if you can give me the Gemara there, that'd be great. So first of all, we have to assume that the reason why the cooking process is going to continue on Shabbos is sensible in the case of a katum. Because a katum means that he places the afer over the coals, but he doesn't extinguish the coals. And that's called a heker. So that's point number one. Then we get to point number two. Now, to appreciate point number two, we have to go back to Rashi on the Mishnah. Rashi says, Ad sheyigrof. So if you count down from the Mishnah in Rashi to line 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Ad sheyigrof, Rashi says, Ad sheyigrof ha-gecholim Mishum de Mosif Hevel. Okay, so I'd like you to underline those words in Rashi. Those are very, very important words in Rashi. We want to spend a few minutes expanding upon this. Rashi is basing himself on an earlier sugya in Perek B'Mem Adlikin, the previous Perek, on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. And there, the Gemara establishes what's called an Iser Hatmana. Okay, so this is a very important concept, and that's called Hatmana. Hatmana means that I'm not allowed to take a pot of food and wrap it up in something that's called a Davar Hamosif Hevel. Hevel is another word for heat. So if I wrap it up in a way that the heat is going to be increasing, that's something that the Chachamim prohibited. So for example, let's say you have coals, and you place a pot inside coals in such a way that the coals surround the pot and are going to add heat to the food that's in the pot. You're not allowed to do that.
Even from
Erev Shabbos. So it means to leave something in a situation of hatmana is prohibited. Rashi, in our Mishnah, takes this one step further, and he says that same prohibition that enjoins us from hatmana, v'davar shemosif hevel, applies to shehiyah on akira as well, meaning not only when I submerge my pot of food inside the coals in such a way that the coals are surrounding the food, which is called hatmana, but even if I take the pot and I put it on top of the cooktop, on top of the stove, it's not submerged in the coals, but nevertheless, since the coals are adding heat, that's called that's included, or shall we call it an extension of the Iser Hatmana. So you have the Iser Hatmana, according to Rashi, is sort of like the Av, and then you have the Tolda, which is a branch that's given, you know, the Tolda, the Iser Hatmana gives birth to a secondary kind of Iser, which is called in our Mishnah Kira, when you place the food on top of the Kira. And Rashi says that since it's an Eino Garif Yeino Kotum, you haven't removed the coals from the stove, therefore Rashi says Demosif Hevel. And because Rashi says Mosif Hevel, therefore Rashi is telling us that this Mishnah should be viewed and categorized and subcategorized under the law of Hatmana. V'taima Prishna Beperek Dili El. The Gemara specifies exactly why this is prohibited on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. Shema Yechata Begecholim. He might be poking the coals. So not only are we afraid of his poking the coals when he submerges his pot inside the coals, that's called hatmana. Latmin means to submerge. But even if the coals are on the bottom and the pot is on the top, that's also considered a davar hamosif hevel, and therefore it's prohibited under the law of hatmana. Now, if you take a look at this Tosus Lo Yiten Ad Sheyigrof, and he starts by saying Pirish Bekudrus Mishum Tosefes Hevel, Tosus is going to disagree with Rashi. But before we see Tosus, I just want to use Rashi for our purposes. What do I mean? We ask the following question. What happens, the Mishnah says that he's not allowed to leave his pot on this Kira, on an open flame, where the Gecholim are very much alive and well, until he removes the Gecholim. So we ask the following question, if he's removing the Gecholim, so what purpose does he have in leaving his pot on top of the stove? The stove has no coals inside of it. And the answer is that there's still heat inside the oven. There's what we call trapped heat. Now again, the heat is going to escape over the course of time because there are no live coals, you know, that are continuing to heat the food on top. But nevertheless, for a certain period of time, let's call it a couple of hours, there's still trapped heat inside the oven, and that's going to heat up his food if it hasn't yet been fully cooked. So now let's learn the Mishnah according to the
according to the second possibility, right? Odilma lishos tnan, which means that you're not, the Mishnah is prohibiting you from leaving this pot on an open fire on Erev Shabbos. And then the Mishnah says, but if he's gorei fakotem, if he removes the coals from this oven, then it becomes mutter. Why? Because it's no longer like hatmana, Rashi would say. Even though, again, it's a mosif hevel situation, but in hatmana, the mosif hevel is because of the fact that the pot is submerged in coals. And if the pot is submerged in coals, then since the coals are active, there's always a possibility, there's always a fear and a suspicion that he'll start playing around with the coals to increase the heat. But now, if he removes the coals and he has a pot not submerged in coals, he's got it on the top of the oven, that's where his pot is located, he's removed the coals, that's called a garuf, right? Garuf means he swept out the coals. Now, even though he's accomplishing a tremendous goal of his, because there's still heat that's trapped in the oven, but the source, the active coals, are no longer there. And therefore Rashi says it's no longer to be categorized under hatmana, which is prohibited because he might poke the coal. Here there are no coals to poke because he's already removed the coals. So again, on the one hand, he's accomplishing his goal because the pot and the food within the pot is going to continue to cook on Shabbos. And why is that? Because it's mosif hevel and is trapped heat that now is continuing to cook his food. So that's a logical thing, and he wants to achieve that goal. You know, it's only been cooked to the point of Kemaychel Ben Josai. He wants it to be fully cooked. So he wants the cooking process to continue on Shabbos. The Mishnah permits it on the condition that he removes the coals. So as long as the coals are there and they're active, then the problem, the suspicion, the chash is that he might poke the coals in order to heat it up and speed up the process of cooking. And therefore, in the Dover HaMosif Hevel, when there's live coals, we have to prohibit it. Even though we put it on when? On Erev Shabbos. And even if it reached Kemaychel Ben Josai. Because again, according to the second possibility in the Gemara, Lishal Tnan, we're going according to the Chachamim of Chananya, who prohibit Shehiyah, even if it reaches Kemaychel Ben Josai and Erev Shabbos, because the Chachamim, as opposed to Chananya, are afraid that he might poke the coals. Now, Rashi says that just like in the case of Hatmana, where again, the pot is submerged in the coals, we're afraid that he'll poke the coals. And that's because it's a Dovra Mosif Hevel, so he wants to speed up the process that has begun in order to cook his food as fast as he can. So too says Rashi, by process of extension, even if the pot is not submerged in the coals, but where is it? On top of the oven, it's prohibited because the coals are still there. It's Mosif Hevel, and he's going to poke, and we're afraid that he might poke the coals. However, says Rashi, if we remove one of these two conditions, so Zayna Zoy, let it be so that it's still Mosif Hevel, but he's removed the coals. Once he removes the coals, it's no longer an extension of Hatman. And now we want to look at the sugya itself. The Gemara,
just one quick question, if it's okay for a quick question.
Please, more than a quick question.
Are we making a distinction here, like we saw in the Mishnah between a chamin and tavshil, or it's equivalent for either one, smaller or more?
So I think at this point, if we're going with the second pshat in the Gemara, which is called lahashos tnan, then the distinction between chamin and tavshil is irrelevant. That machlokus between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, where the heter is limited to chamin, the way Beit Shammai has it, or it extends even to tavshil, the way Beis Hillel would have it, that's with regard to chazara, which means putting it on the oven on Shabbos. We're now discussing shehiyah. And with regard to shehiyah on Erev Shabbos, there's no distinction whatsoever between chamin and tavshil. Okay then? So let's keep that in mind. So the Gemara says, if you want to analyze whether the Mishnah in the first possibility is going like Chananya and Lo Yite means Lo Yachzir, or the Mishnah is going like the Chachomim of Chananya and Lo Yite means Lo Yisheh, Toshma, let's read the Mishnah. From the Mishnah itself we should be able to, the language of the Mishnah itself should be able to tip the scale, so to speak. Why? Midikatani trei bavi v'masnisim. The Mishnah is divided up into two parts. And in the second part of the Mishnah, okay. So actually, it's a little bit tricky here because the Mishnah really could be divided into three parts, but the Gemara is dividing it into two parts. What do I mean by two parts? We have the Mishnah up until the words Beit Shammai, and then we have a double machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So right now the Gemara is analyzing the first statement of Beit Shammai, and that's called the Reisha. And we'll explain as we go along, but what it means by the Reisha here is that this machlokas Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is the first of the two that's presented by the Mishnah. So what does it say in the Reisha? It says Beit Shammai omrim chamin avalotavshil, Beit Hillel omrim chamin vitavshil. Then we get to the Sefer, which means the second machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai omrim notlim avalo machzirin, Beit Hillel omrim af machzirin. Now let's try to understand. If the Mishnah from the get-go, Lo Yitain, is addressing the case of Shabbos, meaning Lo Machzirin v'Shabbos, then what is this double machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai? In other words, we can only understand the multiple machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, the Reisha plus the Sefer, if we assume Lishos Tnan, Iyamrit Bishlema, Lishos Tnan. Now we can understand the difference between the Reisha and the Seif and the need for the Seif on top of the Reisha. Hachik Tani. Here's how we're going to interpret the Reisha of the Mishnah. Kirashi Sikua Bakash Ubegavava. So we're talking when, Rabosai, if it's Lishos Tnan? On Erev Shabbos. Again, as soon as you hear the word Lishos Tnan, you automatically assume it's Erev Shabbos, right? Is Mashin Alea Tavshil? If it's a case of Kashu Gvava, we're going to allow you to leave it on, because that's going to go out. There are no coals over there. That's just straw, or stubble, whatever we call it. And then the Gefes would be Eitzim, where there's coals, Lo Yisheh, there's an Isur Shehiyah, because now we're interpreting like the second possibility, that Lo Yite means Lo Yisheh is therefore Achiyigro Fachiyitenu Mahim Mashim. Okay, so now we have a situation where we're allowed to perform Shehiyah and leave the pot on Erev Shas, because he's removed the coals. And now the question is, how far are we going to go? Is it an absolute all-inclusive heter of Shehiyah? Is Beit Shammai Omrim Chamin Avalo Tavshil? Beit Shammai are only willing to allow you to leave hot water on the fire once you remove the coals, but not Tavshil, but not a foodstuff. Ubeisil Omrim Chamin Vitavshil, even food, even solid food. Well, now we can justify the Sefer. The Sefer is now going to introduce a whole new concept. The Reisha was talking about Shehiyah. The Sefer is going to talk about what? Chazara. V'chiyechi the pligi belishos. Now the Mishnah tells us pligi nami bilahachzir, meaning that Beis Hillel, who permit straight across the board, in a case of a Gara Fakatum, even a Tavshil, they went as far as to allow you to put the pot on the fire. Again, there is no fire really, but it's a Dabra Mosif Hevel, if you remember, but it's a Gara Fakatum. Or again, in the case of Katum, in my first interpretation, that he only covers part of the coals with ashes, so there's still coals in there. Is Bilahatsir, even Bilahatsir? And af machzirin means even a tavshil. So straight across the board, Beis Hillel is matir, not only shehiyah but chazara if it's a garuf and or a kotu. And that's true both on Erev Shabbos with regard to shehiyah and even on Shabbos itself with regard to chazara. But if you're going to go back to the first interpretation, lahachzir tnan, now the Gemara is going to analyze that if we're talking about the whole Mishnah from beginning to end is talking about on Shabbos itself, then there's going to be a superfluous part of the Mishnah, totally unnecessary. And the Mishnah is telling us that although shehiya, if it was partially cooked on Erev Shabbos, is mutter, like Hananya, but nevertheless on Shabbos itself, even Hananya agrees that you're not allowed to put it on the stove, is hachi katani. So now let's go through the Mishnah line by line. According to this lahachzir tonight, is kirashi sikur b'kashu b'gavava machzirin aleha tavshil. Again, the word nosim in the Mishnah is now being translated as machzirin. So on Shabbos itself, you're allowed to put your tavshil onto the stove because there are no coals there. It was straw, and the straw went up in smoke. But gefes ubeitzim, where there are coals, lo yachzir ad sheyigrof o ad sheyitein efer. Again, we're talking about chazara. And in order to be matir chazara, we need a grufa and a ketuma. Umayhein machzirin, bechami omrim chamin alo tavshin, beisil omrim chamin tavshin. Okay, now we get to the seifa, the last machlokas tree beisil bechami. That's completely superfluous. Bechami omrim notlin avalo machzirin, beisil omrim af machzirin asu lovely. Why do I need this last price? It doesn't add anything. It's just a repetition of what we just established. Because the whole machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai, and for that matter, the whole Mishnah is addressing the case of Chazor on Shabbos. And if so, you just finished telling me in the Reisha that there's machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai in the case of a Gufa and a Ketumah, how far we're going to go in allowing you to be machzir on Shabbos. And Beis Hillel went as far as to say that even a tavshil is mutter. Now, what are you telling me? Again, you're telling me, umayin machzirin. What do you mean, umayin machzirin? The sefer is just a repetition of what we had in the Reisha. The Reisha was talking about umayin machzirin. Hasu lamali, and therefore the Gemara submits right now that obviously we have to go with the second shot of lishos tanan. So again, just to summarize the Gemara, and you have to review this over and over again. The Gemara is saying the following: if we can split the Mishnah into two parts, and each part addresses a different subject matter. One, the Reisha is addressing the case of Shehi on Erev Shabbos. And two, the Seifa is addressing Chazara on Shabbos itself. Then all the pieces of the puzzle fit into place and every part of the Mishnah is justified. But if, on the other hand, we go with the first possibility, that the subject of this Mishnah from the get-go is Chazara on Shabbos, then once the Mishnah is already presented, the Machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai once, there's no need to present it a second time. And now the Gemara says, let's make an effort to interpret this Mishnah, even if we assume lahachzir tanan, that the word yitain means lahachzir. Li'olam, again, you see, it's very interesting that the Gemara seems to have almost an agenda here to try to square the Mishnah with Hananya, you know, because Estam Mishnah has a very great power. So if Hananya disagrees with Estam Mishnah, that puts him at a great disadvantage. And therefore, let's go back to the possibility of lahachzir tanan, which means that the Mishnah only prohibits you from placing a pot on an open fire on Shabbos itself.
So meaning the word yitain can have two interpretations, the basis of interpretations. We have different scenarios and best
dinim. Right. So yitain either means on Shabbos, and that's called lahachzir tanan, or it means on Erev Shabbos, which means lahashos tanan. Because again, the Mishnah doesn't tell you when is it that you're not allowed to put a pot onto the fire. Is it on Shabbos or is it on Erev Shabbos? The Mishnah didn't give us a clue.
He asked a question on the Skype there that if you're manipulating coals,
he's still on Skype, by the way.
I think it might have fallen off the line, but in any case,
this is what he fell off. This guy
in the chat,
we're still not there yet.
Aren't the coals muktzah? Was the question. In other words, doesn't the fact that you're getting this recommendation for garufa katum sound like something you must do before Shabbat?
Correct.
On Shabbat.
No, before Shabbat. Yeah.
So
I'm sorry, I didn't clarify.
Part of the action has to take place before Shabbat,
but garufa katum
could be telling you which fire, which had been prepared that way.
Right. Now you could ask the following question: well, what if a guy would come on Shabbos to my stove and sweep out the coals? You know, my Heisbacher, you know, comes along and he does so. Would I be allowed to do Chazor in such a case? So that you have to know that might be totally in sugyas of Amir Lakum, you know, can I benefit from the malacha that was done for me
if it happened on its own, also.
So let's have both sides. Let's just to complete this sugya, let's just try to see if we can justify and interpret our Mishnah according to the possibility of lahasir tanan, of possibility number one, that we're talking about, the Mishnah's talking about Shabbos. The Gemara says the following. Here we have to introduce the principle of chisure mechsure. In other words, we have to inject a few extra words into the Mishnah. The hachik tani. And here's the way we present the entire Mishnah. If we were to insist lahachzir tonight, that we're talking about Shabbos itself, kira shisiku abakash ubigvava machzirin oleha tavshil, because there are no coals inside the oven, begefes ubiatsim, there are coals and therefore lo yachzir ad sheyigrof. Okay, and here at this point we have to add a few words. Avolishos mashim, because again we're defending the view of whom? Of Chananya, who allows Shehiyah. Afol pisheino gorof yeno kotu. And we keep insisting that that's only if it was partially cooked on Erev Shabbos. Umahein mashim. And in the context of Chananya, allowing Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos, even though it's an Eino Garf Eino Kotu, so you're allowing yourself to put a pot on an open fire on Erev Shabbos, it's going to continue to cook on Shabbos, is here we have a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. How far does this heter of Shehiyah go? So if you have a flowchart here, you have Chananya on top of the flowchart who allows Shehiyah on an open fire, even though there are live coals inside the oven, as long as again the process of cooking began on Erev Shabbos. And now we have two lines like a teepee that come out of Chananya. We're going to have Beit Shammai, and Beit Shammai can say, well, Chananya's hetu is only as far as Chamin is concerned, but not as far as Tavshil is concerned. In the case of a Tavshil, where the process of cooking requires a lot of heat on a constant, ongoing basis, there's more of a fear that he might play around with the coals. Is there for Beit Shammai Omrim Chamin Avalo Tavshil, Beis Hillel Omrim Chamin V'Tavshil? In other words, Beis Hillel can allow you to put a pot of food, solid food, on the fire, an open fire, an Erev Shabbos, because they hold like Chananya, as long as the food in the pot reached a certain level of Kemaychel Ben Josoi. And that's the heter of Shehiyah. So the heter of Shehiyah, again, according to Beit Shammai, again, this is all within Chananya, is limited to Chamin and doesn't extend to include Tavshil, whereas according to Beis Hillel, the heter is all-inclusive, even as far as Tavshil. V'ha-chazor di'ari l'cha. Now we go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah permitted chazorah in the case of a garf katum, lav divrei akolhi. Aval machlokas Beit Shammai Beis Hillel. Beit Shammai omrim notlin velo machzirin. Beis Hillel omrim af machzirin. So the Mishnah said in the reish of the Mishnah that in a case of a garuf and katum, you're allowed to put a pot on the fire on Shabbos. Again, when I say on the fire, that's not really accurate. It's on a stove, but there's no fire because he's already removed the coals, at least in the case of garuf. And Beit Shammai denied the whole halacha of chazorah. So it comes out like this, that according to Beit Shammai, the way the Gemara is saying it with Chisuri Metzerei, Shehiyah is mutter, according to Beit Shammai, but only with regard to Chamin, and Chazara is prohibited, even with regard to Chamin, meaning that Beit Shammai completely reject the idea of Machzirin, even though it's now a Kira, that's a Kira Grufa, right? The Mishnah says that you're allowed to do Chazara if you remove the coals. Beit Shammai say, no, I don't accept such a thing. There's no heter for Chazara at all on Shabbos, period. The heter is Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos, but only with regard to what? Chamin. Beis Hillel omrim af machzirin, that once you have a Kira Grufa, you're allowed to not only do a Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos, you're even allowed to do a Chazara on Shabbos. Now again, when I say that once you have a Kira Grufa, you're allowed to do Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos, that's not true. You should have yelled at me, because we're going like Chananya now. And if we're going like Chananya, is then we have the Chisuri Mechzav al Shehiya Mashin Afilu Eino Garuf Eino Kotuv. So then the whole need for a Garuf a Kotuv according to this presentation is only in the case of Chazor is only on Shabbos. And that's what the Gemara says in order to justify our Mishnah according to Chanai. Now I want to go back to Tosis Dibra Maskel Lo Yitein Ad She Yigrof. If you remember, Rashi assumes that if the coals are active and alive, then the Iser of placing the pot on the fire comes under and is an extension of the Iser Hatmana because it's a Dovra Mosif Heaven. Says Tosis V'ein Nira L'ri. The Ri doesn't accept this.
Which Tosis did we make?
Dibra Maskel Lo Yitein, the second Tosis. The first Tosis is more technical. He tries to understand what Kash is, what Gvava is. That I'm going to leave for you to learn on your own. But as far as our purposes are concerned, we need the second and the third Tosis, and especially the third Tosis. But let's focus first on the second Tosis. Ein Nira L'ri Dafilu Grufa V'Ktuma Imosefes Hevel Yoser. Okay, we'll see what Yoser means in a minute, but before we get to the Yoser, the Ri is objecting to Rashi, because if according to Rashi, the Iser of leaving a pot on the fire is because of Mosif Hevel, then Tosa says you don't gain anything by doing Grufa and Ketuma. Because what happens even after your Garif and Ketuma? You remember what we spoke about before? The heat is what? Is trapped. So it's still Mosif Hevel. Yeah, but Rashi holds... this is not a fair question against Rashi because I can catch the Ri on a technical foul here, because even if it's Mosif Hevel, the whole reason why the Chazal asked Mosif Hevel because of Shema Yechata B'Gecholim, and that only makes sense when there are Gecholim. And Rashi holds that even the Gecholim are surrounding the pot, or the Gecholim are under the pot. In either case, you have a Mosif Hevel and a Chashash of Chitui. But if you remove the coals from the oven, that's called Grufa, then Rashi says, even though it's Mosif Hevel, and again, if it wasn't Mosif Hevel, why is he doing this thing? He's not a crazy nut. But nevertheless, it's Muta because there's no Chashash of Chitui. And he says the following. He says that the Tosefes Hevel inside this oven is even greater, is Yoser Mikame Dvar Mashnuyim B'Bameh Tomnim. In other words, the Mishnah in B'Bameh Tomnim, which you'll see later on in Daf Mem Zayin, is going to list all sorts of materials that are Mosif Hevel. And not all of them are very powerful. You know, today we use metals. You know, metals are conduits of heat and so conduct energy and heat. But there are other things like ashes and so forth that are Mosif Hevel, but they're less Mosif Hevel than an oven that's steaming hot. Because the oven is steaming hot and it traps the heat. And yet the Mishnah on Daf Mem Zayin prohibits Hatmona even in a low-key Mosif Hevel. How much more so would the Mishnah prohibit it in a high key, intense heat, Mosif Hevel? So what did Rashi gain by a Gruf and a Ketuma if this is to be subsumed under Hatmana? Okay, and again, we have our answer because there's no Chashash Chitu B'Gecholim. You already removed the Gecholim. The Ode, and furthermore, the Chananya Shari Lahashos. Now, wait a second. According to you, Rashi, if Shehiya is simply another application and extension of Hatmana, then anybody who accepts the Iser Hatmana, ipso facto, he has to accept the Iser of Shehiya. Well, that's not true. Because Chananya Shari Lahashos, Chananya has no problem with leaving a pot that's partially cooked on an open fire on Erev Shabbos, Af She'ena Grufa, even though it's an open fire, v'lo asro mishum atmona, I'm adding two words, the Mosif Hevel. So Rashi makes no sense. This second kash on Rashi is a very stark kash, because how could Rashi maintain on the one hand that Shehiya is a subcategory and extension of Hatmona, and on the other hand, to justify Chananya, who says that Shehiya is Mutter. Now Hatmona is Mishnayis, is all over the place. Nobody questions Hatmona. Ella, therefore, Tosa says, Dafka bat mana, when did the Mishnah prohibit because of maybe you'll come to be mechate gecholim and it's mosif hevel? That's only bat mana, meaning when the pot is submerged and surrounded by the coals. Avalahashos, but to leave your pot on top of the oven, on top of the stove, shari, that you're allowed to do. And according to Hananya, filu kisheino grufa. But the Chachamim disagree with Hananya, and kisheina grufa asri rabbanon. The Hananya, the rabbanon of Hananya, meaning who argue with Hananya, they prohibit an eino grufa in shehiyah mishum dilma asi lachtuye, because of the chash of chituye in the case of an eino grufa. But don't call it hatmana; it's not hatmana. So again, hatmana is going to have a certain stringency, a chumrah that doesn't exist and has no parallel in shehiyah. And this is true according to the Rabbanan of Hananya, and how much more so is it true with the Kal v'chomer according to Hananya, because Hananya rejects shehiyah entirely. So shehiyah cannot be atmana. See, you have the structure here. Hananya agrees to the Isra atmana. Rashi subsumes shehiyah under hatmana, yet Hananya rejects the Isra shehiyah. So it must be that the Isra shehiyah does not come under hatmana. By subsuming shehiyah under hatmana, Rashi gets himself into deep trouble, because he's not going to be able to square with Hananya, because Hananya embraces the Isra of hatmana by at the same time rejecting the Isra of shehiyah. So it must be that shehiyah is a separate category, says Tosfos. And that category is not hatmana, because the pot is not submerged in the coals, it's on top of the oven. The Chachamim, well, let's start with Hananya. Hananya rejects the whole Isur Shehiyah. He never accepted it. It was not on his radar screen because it's not included in hatmana, even though it's Mosif Hevel. Comes along the Chachamim and they say, no, there still is an Isur of Shehiyah, despite the fact that it's not hatmana, because of Shem Yechata B'Gechah. Why isn't Hananya impressed by this chashash of chitui? That we have to understand, and that I think we're gonna get into in the next tosis. So just to summarize, Rabosai, part one of today's shiur, we have machlokas between Rashi and the Ri as to whether or not shehiyah, according to the Chachamim, is an extension and an application of the Isra Atmana. Rashi says yes, the Ri says no. Okay. Whether shehiyah, placing the pot on top of the oven on Erev Shabbos, which is also according to the Chachamim, if it's an open fire, is that called Atmana? Rashi calls it Atmana. Why? Because it's Mosif Hevel. The heat is coming up. And Tosfos says, if that be the case, how could Hananya permit shehiyah? Hananya accepts hatmana. The answer is hatmana and shehiyah must be two separate entities. And how are they different? In the case of hatmana, again, as I emphasize, where is the pot? It's inside the coals. It's inside the source of heat. It is totally insulated and surrounded by heat. It's like, imagine the astronauts getting off on the moon, right? They have to be totally insulated because it's too cold on the moon. You know, you can't live there. So that's hatmana. So for example, you know, people take pots and they surround them with towels. So the question is that hatmana? So let's assume that it's not hatmana because it's not mosif hevel. But if you surround it with, let's say, silver foil or an electric blanket or something that conducts heat, that's called hatmana. And in the old days, what they did is, in order to speed up the process of cooking, they didn't bother putting the pot on top of the oven. They put it inside the coals. And then there's a tremendous chashash that maybe he'll start poking the coals. Rashi says that even in a case where he put the pot on top of the oven, there's also a chashash of hatmana, because it's Mosif Hevel, and he might start poking the coals. But Rashi says that in the case of shehiyah, we have a simple solution to the problem of shehiyah by removing the coals, which is called a garuf. And if there are no coals, then there's no chashash. So again, Mosif Hevel doesn't automatically generate an Isur. It generates heat, but not necessarily an Isur. And the reason why it doesn't automatically by definition, generate an Iser is because we have to ask another question, the second condition, namely, are there coals here? And if he was Garif and he took out the coals, then there's no chash that he'll come to poke the coals. So Rabosai, we have a few questions to answer, and that's what I want to do in the next Tosfos. Number one, why does Hananya reject the Iser Shehiyah? Why isn't he worried about poking the coals? For some reason, Hananya is very confident that since the food already reached what stage before Shabbos? Kemaychol ben Josai, we're not afraid of Chidui. That's question number one. Question number two is Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai is really wild because, actually, it's if you take a look at Beit Shammai, the way the Gemara is saying it now, Beit Shammai reject the heter of a Garif Akotu. That's pretty amazing. So again, in the Chisurei Mechzurei, it comes out that Beit Shammai will only allow Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos on a Garif Akotu for what? For Chamin, but not for Tamshil. And on Shabbos, as far as Chazor is concerned, Beit Shammai Aser, even if it's a Garif HaKotum. I mean, what's going on over here? You have a Garif HaKotum, and Shammai are going to say that on Shabbos you can't put hot water. Imagine you have a boiling hot water, according to Shammai, you can't put it on the oven on Shabbos. That's called Chazora, even though it's Chamin, because what?
It's Garif HaKotum.
It's already a Garif HaKotum. Well, what's the problem? What is the issue here for Beit Shammai? What do you say? Well, Friday night you might get a good chicken soup. You know, if you take it off the fire, and not only that, Shammai would agree that you could keep it on the fire. Again, it's not really a fire because he was Garif HaKotum, but he could keep it on the stove, which is Mosif Hevel, so that's certainly going to maintain the heat of the soup. But if he takes it off the oven, and you know, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but in certain families, they eat hot soup in the morning on Shabbos.
Exactly.
Not only on Friday night. No. It's a little bit sour, but if you know of someone who does such a thing, that's called a glitziana. There's a country called Galicia. In Yiddish, it's called Galicia. So my grandparents on my mother's side came from Galicia. Yes. And I have a close friend, Rabbi Weinberger, Rabbi Pinchas Weinberger in Tinek, so his
Pinky,
and his parents are from Galicia. So when I used to come to Pinky's house for Shabbos, he would give me hot soup on Shabbos morning. His mother made sure the piece used to serve us hot soup. It was quite sour. Now, how do you get hot soup on the blech on Shabbos? The answer is you take it off the blech on Friday night, you keep holding on to it.
Oh yeah.
So it's still hot. You take out, when the pot is off the fire, you take out the soup, and then you immediately put the pot back on the fire. So you made enough soup on Friday to last you for both meals. That's for the glitziana. So again, according to Beit Shammai, this certainly is a heter of Shehiyah with regard to Chamin on Erev Shabbos. So Friday night you'll get your hot soup. If you leave it on the blech without taking it off, you can get hot soup on Shabbos, but you can't have your cake and eat it. You can't have both, according to Shammai, you can't have both hot soup on Friday night and hot soup on Shabbos.
You need another pot.
It's one or the other, unless you have another pot. Right. If on one pot, I mean to say, very good for one pot. But as far as Chazor is concerned, you're talking about a Garif HaKotum, and Shammai say that not even Chamin is allowed in terms of Chazor. So once you took the pot off the fire, you can't put it back on the when I say fire, the word fire is a little bit, because we're talking about a Garif HaKotum, it's a little bit of an oxymoron, but it is a fire in the sense that Kotum, as we said before, still leaves the coal inside, and even in the case of Garif, we're going to have to study. This is going to be a gigantic machlokas where the Garif means he took out all the coals, or he didn't take all the coals out, he only took out most of the coals. That's already a different story. So here's Tosfos Divra Maschil Chamin V'Tavshil. Okay then? Okay. Now, I gave you a handout yesterday, which I'm hoping that you have filed in a very safe place. And in that handout, you will see that on the third paragraph, I have here Tosis Divra Maskil Chamin Vitavshil. But what I did here is I chose one particular line or line plus in Tosfos. And I'll just show you where this line is in Tosfos so that you'll see it. It is on the third of the wide lines. Do you see where, again, I don't know when that printing of the Gemara, but in the classical Shas Bavli, on the third of the wide lines, it says Tzarech Lomar. Do you see that? And just to make life easier for me, maybe more difficult for you, I'm going to jumpstart with that line in Tosfos, because I think that's going to address a very critical point. He says the following: Tzarech Lomar Hodi Asrei Beit Shammai Lahachzir. When Beit Shammai say that Chazorah is prohibited, and that means in the case of a Tavshil, there are cases where there are possibilities that maybe Beit Shammai would be Matir Chazorah in Chamin. Okay, but in one possibility, which is the last possibility that we analyzed, with regard to Chazorah, Beit Shammai prohibits Chazorah straight across the board, even with regard to Chamin.
Now, Chamin is the stricter category to Chazorah or
Shammai.
Well, Tavshil is a more lenient.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean, David. I would say it this way. Asri means that normally we would be more makel in what? In Chamin, because there's less of a chash that he would play poke around with the fire with regard to liquids, they retain their heat. Here, in the case of Chazorah, Beit Shammai went as far as to be machmir in Chazorah, even with regard to Chamin. Okay, so far so good. But then he says, look at that, Kol Tzarkon. Okay? Afilu Chamin Shehuchmu Kol Tzarkon. Those are the key words. Vechein Bebeis Hillel Bi'ena Grufa. So again, Beis Shammai prohibit Chazorah straight across the board, Bein B'chamin, Bein B'tavshil, meaning even B'chamin, even though it's a Garuf and a Kotu. Beis Shammai will only prohibit Chazorah in the case of an Eina Grufa, but in the case of a Grufa Ketuma, Chazorah is Mutter. Again, we'll have to see under what conditions Chazorah is Mutter. But in the case of an Eina Grufa, Tosfos equates Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Does everybody see that? So if you're keeping a scorecard and you have a pen and a piece of and a notebook, you really want to write this down. That according to what it says explicitly in Tosfos, and we're going to break this down into A and B, A, Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai have no debate whatsoever with regard to Chazorah in the case of an Eina Grufa. That which Beit Shammai say in an Eina Grufa, even Beis Hillel will agree to. Beit Shammai went a step further, and they applied it even to a Grufa, because Beit Shammai prohibited Chazorah even in a Garuf. That far Beis Hillel didn't go. Garuf is Mutter. But in the case of an Eina Garuf, Beis Hillel accepted Beit Shammai hook, line, and sinker. That's point number one in Tosfos. But point number two is that Tosfos says that Beit Shammai prohibit Chazorah, even in Chamin, even in a Garuf HaKotum, okay, but that's on the side, is Shehuchmu Kol Tzarkon. Now, what do those three words mean, Rabosai? Huchmu Kol Tzarkon.
If it's completely cooked, what's the why would a person want to continue to add heat or whatever? It's just
okay.
So you're one to smoke the coals, etc.
So Ben, you're a step ahead of me. I just first wanted to. Your question is what I wanted to address, but before you ask the question, so let's just get the facts on the ground. What does it mean, cold sarka?
Beyond what the bandits would.
Yeah, way beyond the bandits. Cold sarka means what, Rabbi Oskar? Fully cooked, and I would go even. Can you add even a little
bit
more?
Be ruined if it's more.
Excellent. That's what I wanted to hear. And this Rabosai, in the language of the Gemara, as we'll soon see, is called Mitztamek Virala. Okay, then? And this you want to add to your lexicon for Perek Shlishi. Okay? Mitztamek Virala. Now, the word Mitztamek means the following. What happens is, and this is even true in the case of liquids, but certainly in the case of solids, it's much more readily, intuitively sensed, that when you get to a certain point, what happens to the food, to the meat? It starts what?
Shrinking.
Exactly. That's called mitstamik. In other words, instead of getting a full volume, I went to Mit'am Chafetz Chaim and I bought, Tzli Katev and I spent a bomb of money and I wanted to get myself a kilo of meat. Right now it's only, 0.9 of a kilo. It's not a full kilo because it's mitstamik. Now, it could be that somewhere in the world of cooking, of chefs, you might find something that's mitztamek v'yafalo, that even though it's shrinking a little bit, have you ever eaten, in one of these fancy, what do they call those, when they serve you, what's called the chefs are, the expert chefs.
The nouveau cuisine, where it's like...
Yeah, the cuisine, but I was looking for a much older word. You're already in the nouveau world.
Gourmet,
exactly. So you go to a gourmet restaurant, and they bring you out a gigantic plate, and like you need a microscope to see what's on the plate. You know what I'm saying? So that's mitztamek v'yafalo. I mean, especially it's yafalo because he gets a lot of money for that, right? So he gets a good. But what I'm saying is,
wouldn't you put chulent into that category?
Chulent at some point becomes mitztamek v'ralo. Let's assume, okay? Yeah. I don't know. Again, you'll decide this. You'll decide this. But again, just to understand what's going on here, we're talking about a case that's beyond repair. Not only has it passed Kemaychel Ben Josai, not only is it completely cooked, but on top of it, it's mitztamek v'ralo. It's gotten to the point where it's in your detrimental interests, rather beneficial interests, to get this thing off the fire. And yet, Beit Shammai are telling me I can't put the pot on the fire. No way, no how. But not only that, even Beis Hillel says I can't put the pot on the fire. Why? Because it's an Eino Garf, Eino Katan. And Tosfos has the following equation. Beis Hillel would say, like Beit Shammai, what Beit Shammai say in the case of a Garf HaKotun, Beis Hillel accept in the case of an Eino Garf HaKotun, which means an absolute Isur Chazorah. So we have now an unbelievable conclusion here, that Chazorah on Shabbos, according to even Beis Hillel, in an Eino Garf, is prohibited, even though it's mitztamek v'ralo. And I want to show this to you. For example, If you'll take a look at the Rambam, which I have here in front of me, I think I may have put the wrong Rambam here.
Oh,
I think
that's tricky.
I'm sorry. That's my Kol Shemuter. No, oh, it's the right Rambam. Sorry, it is the right Rambam. It just didn't say Halacha Yud afterwards. The Yud got cut off. So if you could add the letter Yud there, so it's Perek Gimel Halacha Yud. By the way, the Rambam dedicates an entire chapter to the laws of Bishul. That's the entire Perek Gimel. And the Rambam says that Kol Shemutu L'Shosal Gabi Ha'esh Kishin Notlin Oso B'Shabbos. Okay, now he takes it off the fire. Asur Lach Zero Limkomo. He's not allowed to put it back onto the fire. What day of the week are we on? On Shabbat, Shabbos. Right? Shabbos. And Shabbos itself, because we're talking about Chazorah on Shabbos. The Ein Machzirin Li Olam. In other words, if it's an Eino Garf, Eino Katan, there are no exceptions to the rule. What is he trying to tell me in the Rambam that there's no exceptions to the rule? Even if it's what? Mitztamek V'ralo. Now I'll show it to you in the Ramah. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, which you'll have here on the bottom of your page 1, going on to page 2.
Sif Aleph.
Which is Sif Aleph in Simon Reish Nun Gimel. He writes, okay, so I don't know how to show this to you because this is a gigantic piece, and we're going to have to take apart every single word in this entire Shulchan Aruch here, but I just want to point out one line here. So we're on page 2, and in this gigantic paragraph on the top of page 2, we're about halfway down. If you take a look all the way on the right side, you'll see a Lamed Hey in parentheses. Do you find such a thing?
Yes.
So you move across there, and you'll see Lamed Vav. That's the part that we want to see. Now, what happened over here?
What did you say, Lamed?
Lamed Vav. That Lamed Vav is the Mishnah Brura Sifkat Lamed Vav, which you don't have on the page. I'll read it to you in just a second. But the words of the word. Let me just see here. Just 1 second. Yeah. The words of the Shulchan Aruch are the following. Okay? What happened in this particular scenario? He violated the Iser Shehiyah, shall we say, unintentionally, right? The Shogeg. And the question is he allowed to eat the Tavshil? Okay? Or, alternatively, he placed his pot onto the fire on Shabbos unintentionally. Okay? Is he allowed to eat the food? Again, it's a major sugi which we'll get to. But our purpose here is only in that line. Look at it. He says, V'im mitztamik v'ralo mutter. In other words, if it was fully cooked before he placed it inadvertently on the fire, and now as a result of the fact that he placed it on the fire, it was mitztamik v'ralo mutter. He's allowed to eat it. Why? Sharei lo nene min ha'isur. He didn't benefit at all from this isur. What does that mean? What do you learn from these words, min ha'isur? Obviously what?
There was an isur.
Obviously he violated an isur. He violated isur by putting the pot on the fire on Shabbos, even though it was mitztamik v'ralo. B'dieved, he's allowed to eat the food. Why? Sha'arei lo nenem in isur. And if you take a look, I'll just add, you know, 2 lines to the Mishnah Berurah, which unfortunately I didn't put on the page. It's on page 3, I think. But anyway, I didn't give you page 3. He says, Ratzalomar afal gav dilichat chila asur. Again, if it was me, I would be writing this down on the side of my page. Afal gav dilichat chila asur. Bechazara. In other words, he violated the Iser Chazara because it ain't a Garuf and it ain't a Katum. And they still agree that on an Einu Garuf, Einu Katum, there's no Heter Chazara. So he violated Iser Chazara. Afilu im mitztamik v'ralo. Clearly, explicitly, the Mishnah Berurah understood from this Mechaber that even in a mitztamik v'ralo situation as an Iser Chazara, b'dieved mutter. He violated an Isur, he has to clap al chait, but he's allowed to eat the pot. Why? Sharei lo nene klal. Again, there's another chiddush here, which I'm not going to get into. I feel it hits him amazing. That's something else. Let's not get sidetracked. Okay. I'm just trying to prove to you from 3 different sources that the Isur Chazara on an Eino Garufi Eino Kotum applies even in the case of Mitztamik V'ralo.
It doesn't make any distinction between Chamin or Tavshil.
As far as I know, not. Maybe David will find such a distinction, but that requires more research. But let's assume right now there's no difference between Chamin and Tavshil. Ben?
I don't know if I'm maybe going out on a limb, but isn't it a problem is Ein Bishol Achor Bishol? The stuff cannot be cooked anymore.
So what's going on over here?
It seems like what wouldn't even be an Easter. It's like you're not cooking.
That's right. You're not cooking. On the contrary, it's detrimental. You remember Kolam HaKalkalin Pturim, we had a Mishnah.
Well, so are we back to Maratayan at that point?
Oh, so again, I don't know. You know, Ben introduced Maratayan here, and that's, you know, for me, that's a foreign element here. But we're back to the Rashi. Remember, I asked you yesterday to underline two Rashis. What were the two Rashis I asked you to underline? One was the end of Rashi Ad Sheyigrof Shema Yechate Be Gecholim, and then there was another Rashi at Rashi Dibra Maschil Avolot Tavshil. Again, at the end of the Rashi, Rashi says Inami. Okay, we're skipping the first part of Rashi for now. Niskaima Machshavto Umichzei Kimavashil. Again, leaving out Marasayan here, Rabbos, I don't think you should be distracted here by Marasayan. But the fact that Rashi says Michzei Kimavashil means that it's really not what?
The real thing.
It's not Bishul. And why isn't it Bishul? Well, now we have the answer based on Tosfos, the Rambam, based on the Shulchan Aruch that we saw in Reish Nun Gimel. Why isn't it real Bishul? Because it's Mistamik Viralo. If it's Mistamik Viralo, that couldn't possibly be Bishul. You know, you could argue that even after Michael Ben-Josai, you know, from half to full, that's Bishul. You know, one could logically press for that agenda. You know, that I could hear such a thing. You know, even though it was already cooked, but it wasn't fully cooked, blah, blah, blah.
This is totally.
But this is already Mitztamek Viralo. So Rashi is hard pressed over here. So Rashi says that Merse Kimavashel. Merse Kimavashel means that even though it's not Bishul, it is Bishul.
It's almost like Mekalkel.
Yeah, that's what I said before, that it might be a Mekalkel, but it doesn't matter. It's Merse Kimavashel. He wants to put it on the fire. Now, why is this crazy nut putting it on the fire? And he exactly. Okay, David, you hap me before I got to finish my question. You answered it, which is what Ben always does for me, which is good. But if you had let me finish my question, I would have said the following. Right, the Mishnah Berurah says that he put it on the fire. Amazing. What is the guy, a nutcase? It's Mitztamik Viralo. But David's answer is very good. He wants to keep it hot, even at the expense of Mitztamik Viralo. No, if he wants to keep it hot, it's already Merse Kimavashel. Again, not Merse Kimavashel because the guy over my shoulder is looking at me and thinking, oh, you're a bad guy. Forget about that. I'm alone in a room, there's no one around. Forget it, I'm on the moon, there's no one around, right? Except for Touro College. Okay. that's only for those who know Touro College. It's got to be on the moon. You know, so what's going on over here? But Rashi has this new definition here called Merse Kimavashel, that if this is what he wants to do, and he's doing everything that is Bishul, except for the fact that the food is already cooked, but minus that fact, you know, he's taking food in a pot, putting on an open fire, it's an Eino Garif, Eino Katuf, and it's Shabbos, that's called Metzei Kimavashel. And I think at this point, Rashi is deliberately avoiding Shema Yechata V'Gechol. Because that far he's not going to go. To be mechate v'gecholim and poke the flames and get a higher fire so that it gets ruined even at a faster rapid, you know, at a more rapid pace, that far he's not going to go. So it's interesting. In the first pshat in Rashi, which I think Rashi just, he himself, I don't think is happy with it. Rashi says, Nichole Bishule, even though it's Mitztamik Viralo, he still wants to keep it hot, V'yasi Lechtuye. But Rashi is not happy with that, because what are the real serious chances that this man is going to come to do Chitui in a case of Mitztamik Viralo? Now, Rabosa.
It's counterproductive.
Counterproductive.
Right. Poke stoke the coals when you know you're going to ruin the dish and everybody's going to make a face after they eat the
food. Right.
Yeah, but he's got all the guests waiting at the table to eat the food. They don't want to eat cold food, so he wants to get the food hot.
Right. So, David, that's the first pshat in Rashi, and Yehuda's defending the second pshat in Rashi. Now, Rabosai, what I want to do tomorrow is to try to prove, if I can, that as far as Shehiyah is concerned, there ain't no such thing. there's no such thing as an Iser Shehir, even according to the Rabbanon of Chananya, who accept the Iser Shehir, and we talk about an Eino Goref and an Eino Katum in a case of Mitztamik Verala. The whole concept of Mitztamik Verala to generate an Iser, now we're saying even La'aloch La'maisa, because we're accepting Beis Hillel, but it's an Eino Goref Eino Katum. So Chazorah is also on Shabbos Be Eino Goref Eino Katum, even in Mitztamik Verala. And we proved it from Tosis, from the Rambam, from the Shulchan Aruch, we'll prove it in Mitztamik from the Ramah. That's only as far as Chazorah is concerned. That's on Shabbos. On Shabbos is something called Mefsei Kimavasha, a brand new category. Masha Ein Ken Shehiyah. Shehiyah, even according to the Rabbanon, who Asa Shehiyah B'Eino Garf Eino Katum, and it could be that we paskin like the Chachom of Chananya, I don't know. It's got to be some sort of serious, substantial bishop. It's not Mitztamik Veral. That's what I want to prove to you tomorrow. So, B'li Neder, what I'd like you to do for today is to continue here. I want you to open up the Ran. I left a marker here in the Ran. And you'll see on the Mara Makomos pages that I told you to look in two different paragraphs of the Ran. You hold on to it, Ben, for the time being. But see Ayin Ran? So they're both on the same page. Yud Zayin Omid Beis.
Or the Shulchan.
Yud Zayin Omid Beis means in the Dapi Arif. And you're looking at a paragraph that starts with Miha, which is like two-thirds down from the top of the page, or halfway down to the page. And then at the bottom of the page is a paragraph of Ulit Inyan. So those are the two paragraphs in the Ran that I'd like you to look at. Okay. The Ramban, we're gonna put the Ramban on the back holes for one part of the pun, because this Ramban is very, very complicated. And then we want to go through this Tosis Beis Hillel on the bottom. Afterwards we'll go back to Tosis Dibra Maschil Chamed. Now, in order to appreciate this Tosis, Dibri Amaskil Beis Hillel, then I wrote myself a note here. I want you to take a look on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph, Tosis Dibri Amaskil Ella Iyamrit Bishlein. So, I mean, it's just a wealth of literature here. I mean, it's a couple of days' work, but we'll try to come to some conclusion, hopefully by Thursday of this week. You know, to I wouldn't say we'll finish all of Bishul, but we'll have a little bit of Nistashel called Tzarko, hopefully Mitztamik v'Yafalo, not Mitztamik v'Rav. Okay, then that's all, folks.
Thank you
for today.
Thank you.